Am on. Good morning. All right, pipe down. How are we all doing this morning?
Good.
Good. How you doing? Good. Anthony, you pray for me. Today we're in Lord's Day 35, Heidelberg Catechism. It's interesting catechism. Most of them are. We're looking at the second commandment today. We're in the gratitude section. And Lord's Day 35, question 96, we'll just read through them, first of all. Question and answer 96, what is God's will for us in the second commandment? Answer, that we in no way make any image of God, nor worship him in any other way than he has commanded us in his word. Question and answer 97. May we then not make any image at all? Answer. God cannot and may not be visibly portrayed in any way. Although creatures may be portrayed, yet God forbids making or having such images if one's intention is to worship them or to serve God through them. 98. But may not images be permitted in churches as teaching aids for the unlearned? Answer, no. We shouldn't try to be wiser than God. He wants his people instructed by the living preaching of his word, not by idols that can't even talk. It's interesting. The first question is, what is God's will for us? And you, when you look at the catechism, you try to find comfort. You try to find what God has for us. And it's right off the bat, what is God's will for us? The fact that God has a will for us is a comfort. He actually has a will for us. He thinks about us. He has a will for us. This is my will. What is his will? His will in this instance is that we know him, that we accurately know who he is. Not an idol, not anything else, that we accurately know him. That is his will for us. I've heard the expression a lot from people, not my God. My God wouldn't do that. Well, of course your God wouldn't do that because your God's an idol. To whatever degree we don't understand who God is, that part of our faith is idolatry. If we think, you know, you hear people, well, God's love, God's just love, God's love, God's love. Yes, absolutely, God is love. He's also justice. He's also holiness. He's also all these other things. So to whatever degree we don't understand, fully understand who God is, that's part of our faith is idolatry because we've created God in our own image. We've created the God that we want. He wants us to know who he is. That's what who he wants. That's his will for us. We'll start with the scriptures. And as far as creating God, an image of God, basically what we're doing is we're bringing him down to us. You know, because what do we have? We have pictures of man. We want to make a picture of who God is. I actually looked on a computer for images of God. Kind of interesting. There's a lot of art, a lot of photographs and stuff like that. Most of them portray a rather kindly looking old man with his arms around somebody. It's a nice image. It's not God. It's not God. There was even some that portrayed, you know, God's motherly characteristics, and it was a woman holding her baby, or a woman nursing her baby. That was God. It's not God. It's a nice image, you know. God is love, and that God is nurturing. All that stuff. It's a nice image, but it's not God. It's bringing him down to us. We'll look at the scriptures. We'll start in Deuteronomy 4, 15 through 19. I actually learned how to use PowerPoint. I learned to use MS Word this week. That must have been God. Okay, starting in verse 15. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully. Since you saw no form on the day that the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire, beware lest you act corruptly by making carved images for yourself in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water under the earth, and beware lest you raise your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the hosts of heaven, you'll be drawn away and bow down to them and serve them. Things the Lord your God has allotted to all people under the heavens. Isaiah 40:18-25. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compare with him? An idol? A craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold, and casts for it silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely are they sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? We're going to look at Romans 1:22-23. This is all in that we make no image of God. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, exchanging the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. Very well-known scripture from Romans. You know, what is one of our primary sins? That we've exchanged the Creator for the created. We've ceased to worship the Creator of all things. We've started to worship the creation. That is a foundational sin that we have. Exchanging the, you know, it's truth suppression. We've exchanged truth for the lie. We've exchanged the Creator for the creation. Point two, nor that we worship him in any other way than he has commanded in his word. Now I'm confused. Okay. Leviticus 10:1-7. This shows how serious God was in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament for that matter, about how serious God was about worshiping the way he said he wanted to be worshipped. He was very specific, and very specific about what they did. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took a censer and put fire on it, and laid incense on it, and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And the fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. This was his sons. And Moses called Mishael and Elazaphan and the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, come near, carry your brothers away from the front of the sanctuary and out of the camp. So they came near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said to Aaron and Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, do not let the hair on your heads hang loose, and do not tear your clothes, lest you die, and wrath come upon all the congregation. He was telling them, don't mourn. I don't see you mourning. God did this. God did this. And this is God's judgment on them. But let your brothers, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning the Lord has kindled, and do not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting, lest you die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. Worshipping him in any other way than he has commanded. 1 Samuel 15:22-23. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. We're going to go to John 4:23-24. This is, once again, worshiping God in ways that were not commanded. Actually, this is one to the positive. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Question 97. May we then not make any image at all? God cannot and may not be visibly portrayed in any way. Although creatures may be portrayed, yet God forbids having such images if one's intention is to worship them or to serve God through them. It's interesting, there is a direct correlation to our time now, but we kind of look at this and we go, really, do we have a problem creating idols? I mean, is anyone going out in the woods and cutting down a tree and carving it and overcasting it with gold? No, pretty much not. But there is so much correlation of idolatry in this society, in our time, and in all time. I forget who said it. They said, our hearts are idol factories. The heart of man's an idol factory. We create idols out of anything. It's kind of tough to get past the image of these people making these idols. That's not what we're doing, but we do create idols, trust me. So look at Exodus 34, 13 through 14. And this is about making any portrayable image of God. You shall tear down their altars and break their pillars and cut down their asherim, for you shall worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. 2 Kings 18, 4 through 5. He removed the high places and broke down the pillars and cut down the Asherah. He broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made, for until those days the people of Israel had made offerings to it. It was called Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that there was none like him among all the kings of Judah after him, nor among those who were before him. Now this is interesting. I've never read this before. They broke up the bronze serpent. If you remember the bronze serpent from like back in Numbers, the people were complaining. They came to Moses. They said, which I thought was one of the most interesting statements or condemning statements, they said, we despise this worthless bread. They're talking about manna. They're talking about God's provision is actually what they're talking about. We don't want to depend on you anymore. We despise it. Please, like what are you doing to us? So they were complaining. So the Lord said fiery serpents, I'm assuming poisonous snakes, on them. So you can imagine the panic in the camp. You know, these people are walking around, poisonous snakes are coming, biting them, and they're dying. So they come before the Lord, quite frankly, realizing, oh boy, we really blew it, we sinned. Please help us. And the Lord instructed Moses, he said, make this serpent, bronze serpent, put it up on a pole. When the people get bit by a snake, they look at the pole, they look at the serpent, and they do not die. Didn't say they were in pain. Didn't say that there's no effect. It said they will not die if they look at this pole. This was a good thing. This was something that was instructed by God to make. Make this serpent, put it up, the people look at it, they won't die. After this crisis, quite frankly, they should have destroyed it. They should have got rid of it. They should have got rid of it. And I was thinking about how many things that are good things that we turn into idols. Good things. And I was just thinking of my own, just our church experience. You know, remember that Sunday that the sun was coming in through the window and this Doreen was singing and it was just so beautiful and I just felt God's presence and it felt really good. Remember that? And we try to go back to that. We try to go back to that. How many worship leaders have gotten stuck on a song that really went well? Boy, that song really went well. Man, everyone's responding. Everyone's good. We got to recapture that. We got to recapture that. It can be a building. It can be buildings. You know, I remember when I was a kid and I'd go sit next to my grandma or I'd go sit next to my parents and it was just warm and it was safe. And I want to go back to that because that's what church is to me. You look at what churches have done with the gifts of the Spirit, with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's whole churches that revolve around a gift of the Holy Spirit or the manifestation of gifts of the Holy Spirit. And these are all good things given by God. But this becomes church. This becomes what we worship. This becomes, our focus. It could be the preacher. Well, I think I got to Anthony. You know, dude, I follow Anthony, and Paul spoke about that. And you know, I'm glad I didn't baptize none of you, so you can't say you follow me. You know, it can be a television preacher. It can be a beautiful building. It can be anything. We can take virtually anything and turn it into an idol. Virtually, what's that? Yeah, anything. Turn it into an idol. And what church is lifting up Christ and seeing him as most beautiful. That's what church is. That's what we come here to do. We're coming here, and Nancy said last week, we come here for the building, for whatever, you know. And I know people who can't sit in church unless the pastor has a robe on. Got to have a robe. Got to have a robe. The choir. I know, I've been in churches where the choir, you know, my entire life, church is the choir. You know, the bell choir, whatever it may be. These aren't bad things. They may even be things that God ordained. But we turn our eyes from Christ. We turn to an idol. We turn to something made by man. That's why I found that scripture so interesting. They took this snake. They should have just destroyed it. It served its purpose. It was ordained by God. They should have destroyed it, put it away. They didn't. They gave it a name, and they offered incense to it. They gave it a name, they offered incense. Because this was really a thing. If I'm one of the people bitten by the snake, and I look at that thing, and I don't die, okay, this is a good thing. I may want to put a little incense up to that puppy, because, you know, it's a good thing. God made it. Going on to question 98. But may not images be permitted in the churches as teaching aids for the unlearned? Now, you have to understand, as we keep saying this, a lot of this was written in response to the Catholic Church. This was the time of the Reformation. We have the Stations of the Cross. We have statues all over the place. We have all kinds of things that people were worshiping. So it was written in response to that. And the answer would be, you know, the question is, well, hold on a minute. This. We're learning about God by this Station of the Cross. We're learning about, you know, we're learning to venerate God. We're learning different things. Right? We can use them as teaching aids. That was the question. The answer is no. We shouldn't try to be wiser than God. He wants his people instructed by the living preaching of his word, not by idols that can't even talk. And we're going to look at Romans 10, 14 through 15. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As is it written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. What's the good news? The gospel. That's where we learn of God, from the gospel. That's what he wants. That's the focus. That's what he wants preached. Romans 10, 17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Another translation said hearing through of the word about Christ. Either or at this point. So faith, how do we please God? By faith. And it comes by hearing about Christ. Hearing comes hearing of the words of Christ. Hearing through the gospel. That's how faith comes. That's the means that God uses to turn us from our sin and turn us to him is through hearing the gospel and believing in faith, which is a gift from him. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, 3:16 and 17. This is a popular one and is foundational to our belief. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be completely equipped for every good work. The word of God is sufficient. It doesn't need to be aided by statues. It doesn't need to be aided by pictures. It doesn't need to be aided by props. The word of God is sufficient to teach us about God, teach us about Christ. This is why what we do is so important. You know, we are coming to know God through this. We're coming to know God. That's why it is so important. We're going to look at Peter 1, I guess it's 1 Peter. Is it 2 Peter? 1:19. Darn, Pat. Darn. MS word. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises. We have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. We have such an advantage over the people in the Old Testament. We have such a blessing to be in this age. We have this prophetic word fully confirmed. We're not waiting for a future Savior. We are waiting for to be delivered, final deliverance, but we're not waiting for a Savior that has not yet appeared. We're worshiping a Savior that has appeared, that has given us His word in fullness, and it is sufficient, as it says in Timothy. Jeremiah 10:8. They are both stupid and foolish, the instructions of Destructions of an idol is but wood. But wood. So what is this? So what is this whole thing saying? He's creating a picture. He's saying, I don't want you creating it from your mind an image of me. I'm not saying, because there's nothing that compares to me. There's nothing that you can come up with that represents God. That represents God. He's saying that I've given you a picture. I've given you an image of me. And it's right here. I've given it to you. This is the only image, this is the only picture of me that you need. So I looked up some scriptures here, and it's just a thumbnail sketch, so to speak, because there's so much. But I just tried to look up some scriptures to give you a picture of God. So I'm just going to read them. A couple pages. It shouldn't take long. Got time? Cool. And anyone who does not love God does not know God, because God is love. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that anyone should perish, but that all should receive repentance, should reach repentance. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not grow faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand, with my righteous right hand. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's with me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives your iniquity and heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Then I turned, and this is from Revelation. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands stood one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe, with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like wool, like snow. His eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a two-edged sword. And his face was like the shining, was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his hand on me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and Hades." And finally, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming age he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." That's a small picture of God. That's a small sampling of what God wants us to see who he is. Taken from the Word, there's probably 500 of them. It's, well, the entire Bible, for that matter. It's the whole thing. That's the picture he wants. He don't want us create. We don't have to create our own picture. We don't have to create idols. We don't have to look to other things. He's given us fully sufficient picture of himself, what he's about, what he's up to in his Word. That's what this second commandment is about. Questions, comments? Okay. Okay, go ahead. The Last Supper.
Yeah.
I think very clearly we would not have an image of God. Right. Very clearly. Do not have an image of God. Boom. We can stop right there. The whole thing of the image of Christ, when he came as a man, is a little more gray area. He came as a man. I think the heart of it is our heart. Specifically is our heart. Are we worshiping that? I mean, we have decorator plates that have images, scenes of Christ, you know. The Lord's Supper, do we go in and destroy the, you know, Mike, whoever painted the Last Supper? Exactly. It's a matter of our heart. It's a matter of our heart. What's that? Right. The crosses. Right. Right. Around their neck. Yes. Yes. I think once we get past the image of God, which it clearly says do not, because no one's seeing God. We have that's done. I think after that we have to look at our heart. And is it a matter of worship? Is it a matter of worship? Are we worshiping these things? That would be where it's at.
You would say great caution should be taken with any of those kinds.
Yes. Yes. But I can't categorically state, you know, Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper should be thrown out. I don't know. Should we get rid of it? I can't say that. God, image of God, no. Image of Christ, do we get rid of any movie as a portrayal of Christ? A lot of them, probably we should.
not for that reason,
but a lot of them we should. But it is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of heart, what you worship. So, and I knew you as an artist. I kind of figured you were coming from that. No. Okay. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for this catechism. We thank you that you have a desire, you have a will that we would know you. That we would know you. And I know from our perspective here, you are in many ways unknowable, that we cannot reach you. But you've given us so much to look at. Lord, we will spend all eternity filling in the gaps. If we are yours, we will spend all eternity filling in the gaps. And we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for that certain future hope that we will be with you and we will know you. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen.